Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about critters. Yes, we're going to be talking about communication with all life. We have animal communicator Joan Rapet that is with us today, and she's located up in the state of Washington. Hi, Joan. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight. Now, where are you located in Washington?
I am in Carnation, Washington, just outside of Seattle.
Well, I'm down a little bit south of you, but it's delightful to have you on the air. Now, you have been involved for a number of years with telepathic communication with animals, and you love to teach other people to do it themselves. Tell us how you became aware that you had this skill.
Well, I'm glad that you used the word skill, because I like to remind people that we can all do this, and it really is a skill. I came to it kind of later in life. I mean, I'd always been very connected with animals, and I loved animals, and I was a horse person since a very young age, and so I had some horses in Los Angeles, and I had a number of things. I mean, first and foremost, I had an animal communicator out just for fun, and I was so amazed and enamored with the work. And it always made me feel super connected right after I would have a session with the animal communicator. And then it seems like it would be, you know, a while would go by, and I'd really kind of almost want that fix again, and I didn't really necessarily get that I could do it myself. And I had a series of, I guess you could say, kind of tragedies. I lost a mare the night that she gave birth to what then became my orphan colt. And if you've ever lived in a stall bottle feeding a horse, you end up learning to communicate pretty clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the ways. And then, you know, eventually, it's still, I always joke that, you know, the universe was absolutely knocking my head against the wall with this. I could have started at any point, but instead, you know, I had to wait until another horse later on was lame, and I had to sort it out. I had to figure out what was going on, and, you know, the vets couldn't figure it out, and so I went to call the animal communicator that I had used. I couldn't find her phone number, and later that day I saw an ad for an animal communication class, and, well, here I am.
When you started off with your classes with animal communication, what was it that made you aware that, yes, this is a skill, this is something that someone can develop? Now, we all have intuitive capacities, and it is something that's innate within us. When you were in this class, was it pictures that came into your head? Was it the entire body that was the sensory factor? Or was it that and more that you became attuned to? How did you recognize it in yourself?
You know, I kept getting good feedback from the people I was doing the readings for, from the woman that was teaching. And I wasn't... It still felt mysterious to me. You know, I would get a picture or two, it would be so fleeting, and then I would get a sense. And more than anything, I really in the beginning got words and feelings. It took a long time to get pictures, though I'm very good at that now. But it
mm-hmm.
So I got a sense of words and
in your
sentences.
Book, mm-hmm. In your book, you talk about Pet One, who
yes.
was a wonderful, wonderful horse. And horses, I think, have come to the forefront more since the picture Horse Whisperer came out. When that came out, I think there was like a big aha that affected a lot of people. And talking about communicating with animals, if you tried to talk like this 15, 20 years ago, they would put you in the loony bin. But anyone that's worked around animals or creatures of different types, whether it's fish, snakes, lizards of different types, they realize that there is a communication factor that's going on. And your relationship with horses was so strong and so special. And you went through some pretty heart-wrenching moments with these animals.
Yeah, and I feel really lucky right now that I've got a great, I call it my ground crew right now. I have a really good ground crew right now. But yeah, it was very heartbreaking. And it's, but I really, you know, they were the real teachers that got me here.
Now, Pony Boy, let's talk about Pony Boy, because he had a condition that was, I've never known of this, not that horses couldn't have a problem like this, but his condition was osteochondritis discans, or however that's pronounced, OCD?
Yes. OCD, yes, and it's from getting too much protein at a young age, or it can be from growing too fast. And in his case, because he was an orphan colt, it was because he got too much protein in the foal formula that I got him. So that was unfortunate. But I mean, there's so many things though that lined up. I mean, in a funny way, as unfortunate as all of it was, it's all that. All those experiences serve me every day, in that I'm able to help somebody going through something like that, or, you know, help somebody think about something nutritionally that might be a better idea than what they're doing.
Now, something I found fascinating is that you, as part of your learning curve, took classes on T-Touch. And you developed an energetic healing technique called the Bioscalar Wave. And there was a horse that was having a problem, Gabriella, maybe, or however you want to pronounce it. But you talk about her lameness and how it was vaccine-related and it caused a nervous system breakdown. Now, you never hear about things like this with horses. And vaccines are really up on the forefront in a lot of people's minds with people. Gee whiz, here you had an experience relative to an animal.
Yeah, it is amazing how much the vaccines, you know, what is the saying, it's for the greater good. You know, it's, I think that we went a little vaccine crazy. Doing the vets are just now coming out with the idea that we don't need to do it every single year. But, you know, when you're in these barns, the people that own the barns get so afraid that some disease is going to waltz through. And so we over-vaccinate the horses, and same with the dogs and cats. And then the other challenge with it is that, you know, the vet is coming through and there's 30 horses and we're going to do all 5 vaccines today, you know? And it's like, oh my God, it's, you know, I think vaccines are a very personal choice, but I certainly would never, knowing especially now what I know, do 5 in a row. I mean, that's on the same day. That's just too much mercury going into their system. And it, you know, when you think about the saying crazy as a mad hatter, all the people went a little crazy in the old days making hats because there was so much mercury in the felt. And you know, that's what happens, is we have all these sort of nervous system or immune breakdowns with the vaccines. And then in this case, it's almost like a the vaccine-related herpes is a lot like what people experience with shingles. So it's, you know, it's like pins. It's just very painful.
It is, and I think that that's something that eventually they're going to, because we're part of the animal kingdom ourselves, but
yes.
over-vaccinating, or for example, like with babies, hitting with, you know, giving babies so many things when they haven't even developed their immune system yet.
I know.
It's just overkill. And a lot of dog people I know that have said they don't give their dogs all of the vaccines. They flatly refuse to because they've seen too many of their animals through the years pay the price. But let's get back to the telepathy, because you have a quote in you, one of your chapters, and it was by Chief Seattle of the Suquamish tribe. And this was in a letter to President Franklin Pierce. If all the beasts were gone, man would die from a great loneliness of spirit. For whatever happens to the beasts soon happens to man. All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the sons of earth. Boy, is that lesson coming home today. Let's
yeah.
talk about one of the cases that you bring out about Mary and Ringo. Now, you had developed your skills. People were becoming aware of it. And they wanted you to assist them with their animals. And people who really care about their animals are so open to so many things. But Mary was having problems with her dog. Tell us what went on with the dog and what was given to you in the way of telepathic information from the animal that enabled you to help her.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be totally honest. I changed a lot of people's names in there. So I was... I know that I changed the name on that one just in case. Now, of course, I've run into all the people that have... I changed their name, so could you familiarize me a little with
sure.
that?
She, the dog, was communicating with you and telling you that Mary had been a victim of a horrible crime. Perhaps
I definitely changed
like
that name. Yeah.
Yes. And she had been forced to move, and she had to be under some kind of a protection program because she assumed another identity. So tell
yeah.
us the rest of that story, because that's quite a powerful story.
Yeah, that's exactly why I changed the name. First of all, when I got there, people don't always tell me why I'm coming over, and so thankfully, apparently the dog had become, kind of, I guess what you would call a small ankle biter, but, that can be pretty dangerous, too. I mean, it's certainly, you've got arteries down there. It's not okay. And so, anyway, he had become very protective of her, and she was living down in South Florida, and had a beautiful place. You wouldn't know that she was under some sort of protection. I mean, nothing in her little world that I was seeing as I walked in would have said that she was living in this protective sort of, assumed identity. And so I just asked the basic questions, what is your dog's name? How old is your dog? How long have you had your dog? And she told me she had moved, and that was it. And the dog trainer was there. She brought her dog trainer over. And so when I checked in with the dog, he let me know right off the bat that he was so sorry and so guarded because he had witnessed a really heinous crime. And I didn't, I don't know if it... Anyway, I don't know the whole extent of it, except that he showed me that he hid under the bed and that he knew that, that his person, Mary, as I've called her in the book, was very nearly killed and really, really severely beaten and probably left for dead. And it was someone he knew. So I think that's why he wasn't being protective. Well, it turns out it was... I guess her ex-boyfriend or her ex-husband, and so she ended up, going through the whole trial process and, being clearly very shaken, and then had moved down to Florida with this assumed identity. But the dog was not. The dog was now in overprotective mode,
mm-hmm.
and that was becoming very dangerous for her to even go out on walks, and so. That's why she had me come talk to the dog to find out why. I had no idea of any of that. And so fortunately, I mean, he literally just fell asleep once he told that story. He was so exhausted. And I guess the dog trainer knew a little bit about it, but what I didn't know was that she didn't believe in the animal communication at all. And so it was almost, not a joke, but she was almost just like, this is the last chance to kind of find out why he was doing it. The trainer was certainly at the end of his rope, and because he wasn't able to make a shift around the aggression. Mm-hmm. And so at this point now, because that was out, they were able to, you know, really shift things for the dog, make him, help him feel really like he was doing a good job. Because, you know, the problem is when you're always in trouble, on top of, you know, whatever it is that's gone on originally, then he was in a situation where he was always in trouble. And so he was never feeling like the hero.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were able to really make that a, you know, a wonderful home for him now, and secure. You know, she was able to really kind of release a lot of her story in that moment, and they were able to give the dog more purpose again.
Now, this is something that I know with many different animals. People that are around animals a great deal develop this without even thinking of it. They're just there. They know if their dog isn't feeling well, or their cat, or their lizard, or their horse, or whatever. And people will say, oh, geez, you just don't have an understanding at all. You don't know what you're talking about. But there are things that do affect them, and they do have these intense feelings, and they do have, especially when you're talking about dogs, they have this desire to be very protective. Horses can be extremely loyal. I mean, their feelings and emotions just go all over the place, just like people's do. And it's fascinating to me how many don't get it. How many people do not get it. I mean, even if you have wild animals, there's communication that goes on. It's really surprising to me. Have you ever had a case or an involvement where you wondered why the animal and the person was even together?
I mean, I've learned through my work that, you know, I certainly can't judge, but it certainly is. There are times that it's like, wow, that's a combination, because you know that they're both kind of setting each other up, you know, and the, you know, like in that case that we were talking about with Mary and Ringo, here's this dog that no matter what, you know, he was going to do something naughty. He was just so trying to get her attention and was trying to be, you know, do the right thing. So I think that sometimes it, you know, comes down to a true communication breakdown. But I did have one recently where the woman was really very, very sick, and she was on the mend, you know, and I guess she'd had several operations, and her energy was coming back, and she had a three-year-old. It wasn't a border collie, but it was some sort of dog that had a lot of energy. And I was like, well, let's just really talk about redirecting the energy. What if we talk about, you know, some things that might, that you could do around the house that's going to, you know, use up some of that fire the dog has, but also let the dog know that it's doing a great job and has a wonderful purpose in the other things that it's doing in your life. And it really just seems like, I don't know if she wanted me to say, you know, this is the wrong dog for you. It just didn't seem like there was anything that was going to remedy the situation. And I mean, because I'm really a believer in miracles and hope, and we can fix this. And, you know, once in a while I get those where it's just, they're not going to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. And then it causes a lot of discomfort for both of them. You have a wonderful story about a 13-year-old girl. Her name was Jane. And she really wanted to know what her horse was feeling. And the parents brought you in because they wanted this 13-year-old girl to know that she really was a good rider, that she could do the dressage, the, you know, cross-country jumping, stadium jumping. Tell us how this worked out. How were you able to help this 13-year-old girl?
You know, it has a continued ending. It's a great story. So this young girl was, she was the second or third owner of this wonderful little horse that was, that she had gotten, and she was doing cross country. So for people that don't know horses, the cross country, or the 3-day eventing is what the event is called. So one day is jumping out in a field, and another day is jumping in a stadium, a big arena, and then a third day is riding dressage, which is more kind of like ballet. So what happened was, at some point, the horse had stopped in front of the water jump, and so, you know, and the water jump is always, I mean, frankly, I find it terrifying, so it's always a little bit, you know, daunting. I'm sure some people would find it a really fun challenge, and plenty of horses find it fun. So the horse was stopping at the water jump, and the little girl wanted to know why the horse was stopping there. Well, at the time, her parents were videotaping the session with me, and I had said, you know, the horse is telling me that the picture I'm getting from the horse is that you expect the horse to do that now, because the first time the horse stopped 4 strides in front because there seemed to be something, you know, something in the distance or whatever that had stopped her, prevented her from, preventing her, the horse, from going over the jump that had kind of scared her. And as a result, the young girl was starting to expect this now every single jump, and so every single water jump. So no matter what the girl did, she was signaling mentally and then probably even so subtly physically, you know, that she thought the horse was going to run off to the left. And when I said that, her parents, you know, said, yes, that's exactly what it looks like. And I can remember the first time it happened. And so they ended up really, I talked to her about visualizing the outcome, that what you really want is, see, what happens is, she was probably going home or heading to the barn after school, and, you know, on the way there was going, oh, boy, you know, today when we get to that water jump, it's going to be the same old thing. So, you know, we set up mentally for the horse to then spook at the water jump. So what I had her do was really work hard on creating the picture of going over the water jump and, you know, really working on that visual and retraining her brain that the water jump was going to be easy and effortless, and so to keep picturing the water jump. So she worked and worked and worked on the water jump, and in her mind, every day, you know, at night before she went to bed, and then her mom, even when they drove to the barn, would work on it with her, and so eventually the parents even built her a little water jump, and so she got to practice, and eventually she started winning everything. And one of the things that was really intense for this young girl also was that she was comparing herself to the rider before her who had won everything. And, you know, the horse was very reassuring that this was a young woman that had not only great riding skill but great compassion, and that was really, I mean, they were the cutest team on the planet. Well, years later, I have my book come out, and I'm at a big tack store right before Christmas a couple of years ago doing a book signing. And while I'm there, you know, there's a big line for people that want the book, and this woman comes up and she looks at the title and she looks and she has an English accent. She goes, well, we had an animal communicator come out. And I said, oh, you did? She goes, yeah. She's like, yes, we had quite an experience. My daughter wasn't jumping the jump, the water jump, and she went on and on and on, and I was like, I had forgotten what the woman looked like. I mean, I do deal with a lot of people. And as she said that, she opened the book to that story, and I said, oh, that your daughter's in the book. That was me.
she... Oh, what fun.
And then it gets even better. So then I had a book signing at Barnes & Noble a month later. And so she got to come in with a huge picture of her jumping the water jump.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, it was
great.
Really. Yeah, it was a fun. It was fun that it, and it, you know, now she and I are friends on Facebook, and yeah, it's really, she's moved on to another horse, but that horse was really a huge, huge, delightful story. You know, I mean, and a wonderful thing for, I think, people to realize that, you know, you just, it's the mental and the emotional component that have as much to do with it as skill does.
And I think many times, because they can't speak to us the way we speak to each other, that people often assume that they're dumb, that they don't know what's going on. Well, that's not the case at all. My little Scottish Terrier picks up on everything.
And, I'm sure.
You know, there's no hanky-panky here, and you really can see a lot. And mentally, I'll even get messages from him, you're sitting at the computer again.
Yeah.
You know, the little things like this. And they're subtle. They're very, very subtle, and it's easy to ignore them. And here you have, made a profession doing something that assists other people. But I love this one story that you had in the book with a woman who had a dog named Henry. He was 18 pounds. He was a three-year-old stray, and she had always had bigger dogs, so this little dog was just so precious to her. And he would nip her, and she just couldn't figure out why. She just loved this dog to death. And then what happened to wake her up? This I just loved.
She was, and actually, it's funny, because it was actually the editor of the book. Cause she tried one of the exercises. She'd been working on the book, and one of the exercises talks about kind of expanding your aura or expanding your being and including your animal in your space. And she didn't necessarily know one way or another if it was going to work. So she sat on the couch, and her dog Henry was on the couch with her, and she expanded her aura, and she heard loud as day, loud as if it were somebody in the room with her, "I am not a little baby, you know. I'm a grown man."
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had to look around the room, even though she knew there was no one there. And ever since she did that, he had a little extra spring in his step as far as the way that he walked, and he stopped nipping her, and he stopped growling. And he really was respected. And she got it right away. She got it. She has never spoken baby talk to him, too.
Yes, and
that was the other thing.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Mommy's little snuggle bunny, and he did. Boy, she's working on the book, and she's working on the book. She does the exercise, and she goes, uh-oh.
Yeah, exactly.
That's marvelous. Well, Joan, your book is absolutely delightful. It's very informative. And I know you have a website, joanraquette.com, and that's JoanraNQuet. Now, when people go to your website, I know that if anyone wanted to set up some time with you to be able to communicate with their animal, send things like this. How do they go about doing that?
They just fill out the contact form, and then they get to, then I get back to them and we set up a time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, check out her website because she has so much wonderful information on there. Her book is called Communication with All Life, Revelations of an Animal Communicator. And who knows, perhaps you, just like Joan, might want to develop this level of skill so that if you have a passion for animals, you can work with them. She talks about birds. She talks about all kinds of creatures in her book. And I know you'd find it delightful to read. Joan, I want to thank you very much for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me. It was very fun.
This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget, check out Joan Raquette, R-A-N-Q-U-E-T. Find out more about her. And we're taking a break, and we're going to be back in just a little bit. So don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
And a welcome back. Toll-free number to call in to if you'd like to chat with me to let your, well, help me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Number to call in to is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I'm really excited. I'm still getting calls regarding the class that we're putting on Saturday called Quantum Mind. For those of you who are in Western Washington, this is going to be absolutely marvelous. Robert Newman and I will be presenting this class. It's from 10 until 2, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m., and it's all about empowering you. Now, Robert Newman is a feng shui specialist. And also, he is really knowledgeable about Chinese herbs, so he's just a very talented man. And he's going to be teaching the first part of the class on feng shui, and if you have photos, you can bring them with you about areas you'd like to change, to shift, so things are going to be more in balance for you. And then I'm going to be teaching psychic development, and there's going to be a lot of fun exercises. The class is limited to 25 people. We still have a few spaces left, so come along, be a part of this, because this is sort of one-on-one. Very interactive. I just love doing this kind of a class. Now, you can give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. It's this Saturday from 10 a.m. until 2. It's being held at Bridgeport Place, which is 5250 Bridgeport Way West. Doors will be open at 9:15 in the morning. We're going to have some refreshments there. It's $39.95 prepaid or $45 at the door. And this is going to empower you on so many levels, and you're going to get that one-on-one interaction so that you can talk about what's most important to you, and I think that that is really significant. So I hope to see you there. That's Quantum Mind. Check out my website if you need more information, or just call me at my office, 253-582-5604. Well, I wanted to share a couple of things with you. This information came across my desk, and I really thought it was worth mentioning. Batteries. We just take them for granted in life, and there's different types of batteries, and so many times when we have batteries in our environment, if we have small children, we don't really pay attention to the fact that children love to pick things up, they love to put things in their mouth, and it's not just with, you know, toddlers. Sometimes young children, if they have games or units that they play with, and they take something out and stick it something in their mouth. I know it sounds a little crazy, but that's what kids will do many times. I know some adults that have done the same thing. Well, there is a notice that's been put out regarding small button batteries. Now, we all have them. And since 1985, more than 3,500 injuries and at least 17 deaths have been attributed to children swallowing button batteries. Now, this comes from the Energizer company, and they are a partner with Safe Kids USA, and they really want to encourage parents to be alert and be aware. Now, sometimes people have older devices that are not equipped with the more current safety approaches that are being used by manufacturers today. So where do you find them? Calculators, remote control devices, cameras, pen lights, hearing aids, cell phones, watches, oh, and so much more. Use these little button batteries. They can even be found in your musical greeting cards. Have you ever gotten one of those? You open it up, you got all that fun music coming out. Well, kids have a way of getting that stuff out. They remind me of my little Scottish Terrier with a squeaky toy. He wants to get to the squeaker. Well, the kids can be the same with batteries. Now, choking isn't the danger. That's usually the first thing that we'd consider. The big risk is the power that is given off by these little tiny lithium batteries. Now, this is what happens when one of these little tiny batteries is put into a child's mouth. It doesn't have to be leaking, but when it's combined with saliva or any other body fluids, you can get burned badly. That's a true statement. And the battery doesn't have to be leaking. Even a weak or a dead battery will have enough of a charge left to do damage. So if a child puts something like this in the mouth, it could even happen with an adult, you can get that mouth burn. So you need to respond immediately. If you think a child has swallowed a button battery, it takes as little as 2 hours for a hole to be burned in or through a child's esophagus, trachea, stomach, or nasal septum, and it can lead to serious illness or even to death. So if you know of anybody that has small children, you really should make them aware. And they're just all kinds of sizes, but they're the button batteries. If you think that one has been placed in their nose, go to the ER immediately because it will literally burn the inside of the nose. And they can see them on x-rays. If one is detected in the esophagus, trachea, ear, or nose, it's got to be removed as soon as possible. So to have a safe environment relative to these items that we take so much for granted in today's world, don't let your kids play with batteries. You want to keep spare or dead batteries as inaccessible to children as you would medications or toxic products. And if you have devices that use button batteries, make sure to secure the battery compartment. Kids take things apart. I'm telling you, they're just amazing. So extra layers of tape over the battery compartment might be something you have to do. Duct tape to the rescue. So if you want more information on this, and if you're a relative that has family members that have little kids, you want to inform them, go to this website, poison.org. poison.org, and you'll find out what you need to know. Donna Sebo here, and if you want to give me a buzz, call me at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow we're going to be talking with Alan Combs. We're going to be talking about a very famous man. His name is Thomas Berry. They called him the Dreamer of the Earth. This is a man who dedicated his life. He was way ahead of the curve regarding the environment and how we need to take care of ourselves. Poison the environment, we poison ourselves. And that's what we're battling with today. So we're going to be talking about this very famous man. And then we're going to be listening to some wonderful music by Diva Haley. It's called Sacred Alchemy, and it's dedicated to women. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Thomas Brophy, who, along with Robert Bovall, did a book called Black Genesis. It's all about Egypt. Fascinating information, and I think you will be just as interested as I was when I actually went through the book. So we've got a great lineup of people. Tell your friends, and just know that here on the Donna Sebo Show, we've got all kinds of good things to share with you. You never know who you're going to meet or who you're going to hear telling stories that maybe will have an impact on your life. Well, I also wanted to share some other health information with you, but to let you know, too, that I have got a recipe for honey-glazed Cornish hens. You don't hear very much about Cornish hens, but it's a wonderful, wonderful small fowl to serve. And, oh, is it impressive when you have company over for dinner. It just is so attractive, and it fills the platter so beautifully. So this is just really, really nice, and I thought I would share that with you today. But I wanted to bring up something else. I've had so many conversations just recently with people who are going through experiences with family members, friends, and it's about dementia. Now, today we're living so much longer than ever before, and there is so much regarding senility, dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever term you want to use it, that's coming forth today, that our ancestors didn't even have an idea about, because people didn't live that long. Well, today, because we are living longer, today, because we have so many things in our environment that actually can be toxic to the body and bring on illnesses, including senility and Alzheimer's, that it's important to be aware if there are certain signs that are affecting people that you know. Now, I will share some of this with you. I know we've got a caller on the line, so let me go to the caller, and when we come back, then I'll share a little bit more with you. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Rebecca from the Bay Area.
Hi, Rebecca from the Bay Area. Oh, it must be just beautiful down there.
Yeah, it's really nice today.
All right, dear. The first thing that I am looking at with you is question marks all over the place. I really think that you're just not taking anybody's word on anything. You are really questioning, cross-examining. You are saying, this doesn't sound right. What if? What could I do? What could I not do? How come I can't get things in black and white? Now, this questioning period could go on with you for about 6 months. This is not a negative patterning, by the way. This is something that I think is showing how much you are expanding your own world. And that's very important for you to be able to recognize, because you are taking the time to really make sure that you have some clarity on things. And I know it can be extremely frustrating when you're not getting what you feel is an absolute answer. But I think what's occurring is that your mental elasticity relative to new opportunities, opportunities to put yourself into new arenas of experience, is expanding quite a bit because of this demeanor that you've developed. And I think it's healthy. And if there was any way you could journal some of the things that you experience, I think you're going to find yourself being able to read between the lines and then figure out by, I think, February the 15th exactly what direction you want to follow. You've got a lot of pressure on you from some outside sources, and it's a little bit unsettling, yet you're going to get through it. And I really think you're going to have a very good 6 weeks ahead of you. But it is going to be challenging, because you're going to find some people that you thought really knew what they knew, they're not going to know as much as you think they did. And so this is a little bit concern, I should say, to you. And that's normal and it's natural. But I think it's also very good, because you're not going to be afraid to question and to look at the pros and cons of various situations. So be at peace with yourself. Know that this isn't going to be a long-lasting period, but that it's really expanding your world quite dramatically. Rebecca, would you stay with me? We're going to take a quick break.
You bet. Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll take Rebecca's question. And, hey, if you want to call me too, 888-627-6008 is the number to call. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Before I go back to the caller, you just heard an ad about Toprasin. I want to tell you something. This is a phenomenal product, and I use it. I even used it on my Scotty that had a very serious skin irritation. Now, there's a very special thing that's being offered by this company for those of you listening. If you want to go to their website, Toprasin.com, and you want to order any of the product to try it, they have a 30% discount because of the show. So if you will call them at 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007, and tell them that you heard it on the Donna Sebo Show and give them the code DS-30, DS-30, that's the abbreviation for Donna Sebo 30, they will give you a 30% discount. This is an awesome homeopathic product that really works. I use it. My family uses it. My friends use it. It's incredible. Check it out. This is Donna Sebo. We're going back to Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. What's your question for me, dear?
Well, having just heard the great interview with the animal communicator.
Yeah,
I'm holding my little dog, Comet. And I was just wondering if there's anything that he wants to communicate to me that you might be able to pick up on.
Okay. Comet is very, very concerned about one or two people that are in your life. And Comet has a wonderful personality. Comet, to me, looks almost like an actor. He's just, you know, he's just got all of this personality that is just wonderful. But there is a sense of, he's reading some of these attitudes of these people, and one of the individuals that apparently is in your environment, I think it's female, it's fairly common, and Comet said she really bothers me because she has these moods, and she gets very, very erratic sometimes in the way she responds to things. So he takes things personally, and he prefers it when he wants to be with you and be close to you, that you don't try to hold him too tightly or encapsulate him, I guess is the word that I'd want to use. He really likes being able to move around the way he wants to move around in your space, but he also wants you to let him know when things are uncomfortable, because sometimes it gets very uncomfortable when he's working with you. Now, I'm not an experienced, well-versed animal communicator like my guest was today, but I can tell you that this dog is a personality, and all you have to do is really pay attention to his body language, and he'll let you know what he thinks about people. And he's a pretty good judge of people, but he can be a snob at times, too. I just think he has such a character. He has a wonderful personality.
You totally just pinpoint my dog. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes he throws his little head up in the air and trots off. He's only like 9 pounds. Right? He cracks me up. And I was just holding him really tight within a towel, and he just wanted down, and I just let him down. So that's just so right on. So I think I know who the person is.
The person, let me just interject here. The person might be bipolar. Now, this is really going to sound strange, but I think that there is something going on with this individual chemically. Bipolar situations usually are a result of a chemical imbalance inside a person's body and brain. And there's not a lot of research that's been done. There's some, but it's a fascinating phenomenon. But I really think that this person may need some help, but they need help by someone that could be a medical professional but also has a good nutritional understanding.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I think it's my boss. That would be a person that I was totally surprised about how they were when I was, she was one of a person that was in my life from a professional basis, and then mm-hmm. I went over into her office, and my mouth is still like a gap going, my gosh, this person is so different. I just am like, still kind of mm-hmm. like, I can't believe it. This person is like night and day, so I think yes. it's that, okay. And then I just have a request. Friday is Veterans Day. And maybe if you could read a story or two about a veteran, I would appreciate that. And I just want to give a shout-out to all our veterans that a big thing.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. And I'm so glad that you've mentioned it because there's someone I'm in contact with. I was hoping they could be on the air with me on Friday. But I'm with you, and I appreciate that suggestion very much. Thank you.
Oh, you're more than welcome. So you be safe and enjoy your 11-11-11, which is coming up on Thursday.
Yes, it is. Fascinating
yeah.
day. All right, my dear, you take care.
Thanks, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo, and I thought we had a second caller, but we may not have a second caller now because I know that they were having a problem with their phone. But I really appreciate suggestions from you, and I so appreciate Rebecca's comment because sometimes we have so much going on, we get so much information that we don't often take the time to really make it okay just to not do anything. Have you ever been in a situation where you just said, I've had it, I am not going to do anything else, I am closing down, and just went out for a walk? Or just maybe turned off the television, turned off the computers, turned off all the electronic equipment, and just said, I'm zoning out. Maybe listen to a little classical, maybe listen to some rock and roll, and just tone down. It's amazing the clarity that you get when you do that. It is so easy to get stuck in the multitasking trap. Trust me, I understand that situation. And what sometimes you have to do is say, thank you, I think I'm just going to sit down and watch Bugs Bunny maybe for an hour or whatever. And sometimes I think we have to lighten up a little bit because we're so intense and we're going so fast. So I really appreciate you. Thank you so much. I've gotten so much wonderful information regarding videos and other things. I try to include them in my newsletters. So if you want to check out my newsletters on my website, DelphiInternational.com, please do so. And if you'd like to subscribe to the newsletter, send me an email. And I know sometimes I'm getting information because we are using Comcast services. Oh, Donna, it's bounced back on me. Call me, let me know. I like to be on the phone. I really do. I like talking to people. Emails are wonderful, and I know you're all busy. But remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Just like our guest today, Joan Rancourt, said, it takes time to communicate with animals. It takes time to communicate with ourselves. It takes time to really listen to what it is that our very essence, our very spirit is trying to express to us. You're very important. I so appreciate you. Thank you for being with me today. I'll talk with you tomorrow. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.